this morning. I kind of like to believe that that's the case every week, but I will tell you, as I was processing through the content of what I have to share with you this morning, I was personally very encouraged in a way that I needed to be encouraged, and I think that was probably true for each of you, that the way that this kind of landed on me, I pray it will land on you. The next several messages, at least three, maybe four, in this summer sermon series, Summer with the Spirit, are all going to be focused on our experience with the Holy Spirit. We're going to be considering what the presence of God is and how we know that we are experiencing it. You know, not everything that we think is the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's just indigestion. Sometimes it is, you know, just the goofiness and the whirlwind of life. We want to know what the presence of God is, and we want to know how do I know I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing is the Spirit of God. And this morning, I'm going to take us back where we need to start with this. I'm going to take us all the way back to our very first encounter with the Holy Spirit. And consider that the way we began our experience with the Holy Spirit is the way that we continue to experience the Holy Spirit. So in looking back, what we're going to do is we're going to discern our way forward. That's what's going to happen. And here's the gospel good news. The gospel good news is that the truth that the Holy Spirit used to bring us into fellowship with Himself and the Father and the Son, that good news, it is the same power that we need. It is the same good news that we need to move forward in our faith and to move forward in our relationship with the Father and our relationship with the Son and our relationship with the Spirit. What I'm going to tell you is the old news, but the old news is the best news. Listen to the words of today's text again, Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Here's the question. What demonic spirit have you been listening to? That's what Paul's saying. It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, your good deeds, or by hearing with faith? Loved ones, never, ever forget that the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and the gospel message go hand in hand. If you want to have a growing, a moving, an increasing move of the Holy Spirit in your life, I'm going to tell you right now where we're going to get at the end of this service. You need to attend to the gospel message. You need to have ears to hear what the Spirit tells you, and what the Spirit is going to tell you is about all the good things that Jesus does for you that you can't do for yourself. Our life in the Spirit began when the Holy Spirit opened our eyes to the light of the gospel that Jesus saves. That's where experience with the Holy Spirit began. It's where my experience with the Holy Spirit began. It's where Tom's experience with the Holy Spirit began. It's where Jude's experience of the Holy Spirit began. It's where my wife's, my girlfriend's experience with the Holy Spirit began. Our experience with the Holy Spirit, our life in the Spirit began when the Holy Spirit opened our blinded eyes to the light of the gospel news that Jesus saves, that He lived the good life that we could not live for ourselves. That He died the death that we should have died ourselves. And that He offers us the benefits of each. His good life, His perfect law keeping, we get the benefits. He did all the work, we get the benefits. His death on our behalf removes from us our death sentence. His life becomes our life, and His death serves as our rightful death. He did everything, and we get the benefits. We get mercy because of what Jesus did. Here's what mercy is. It is the forgiveness of our sins so that we don't receive the punishment that we deserve. That's what mercy forbears. You know you deserve to be damned forever, Josh, right? And Josh. But because of mercy, That's no longer appointed for us in Christ. And grace. See, it's not just that God withholds from us the punishment we deserve, is that he approaches us with blessing upon blessing. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Adoption into his family, where we are called sons and we are called daughters. We become the children of God. And we receive blessing upon blessing, blessings that we don't deserve. So make no mistake, it is the Holy Spirit that works these things into our lives. It is the activity of the Holy Spirit who works and who applies these gifts to us. In the economy of the gospel, here's how the Trinity works. So the Father plans our salvation, the Son accomplishes our salvation, and the Holy Spirit applies our salvation. Read through the Bible, Old Testament and New. This is how the Trinity works. The Father plans, the Son accomplishes, and the Spirit applies into our lives. So you see, it is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that makes the gospel good news come alive to us and come alive in us. It is his work. When the gospel good news comes alive in our hearts and it thrills our hearts, that is our first experience of the Holy Spirit. We get saved. And then as he applies truth upon truth upon truth upon truth from the Scriptures, we are experiencing over and over and over and over again. When we are mindful of God's grace towards us and mindful of his kindness for us, we're experiencing the Holy Spirit. When after years of being a Christian, we find all of a sudden that our salty language, our profane language, isn't as salty as it once was, isn't as profane as it once was, that our trajectory is towards lips that are filled with grace and peace and holiness and purity, that is a Holy Spirit experience moment. I had mine one time when I was, you know, doing a little bit of work, and I'm not a great construction worker. You don't want me working on your house. Literally, I am the duct tape guy. Literally, I wish you could see what I have done with duct tape. I'm that guy. But one time I was forced to use a hammer and nail, and I did, you know, I did what, you know, the proverbial, I got my fingers. And it bled a little bit. And out of my mouth, I'm telling you, ouch. And I had revival right there, because back in the day, it wouldn't have been an ouch. That was a Holy Spirit moment. That was an experience. I did not know that I had matured. I did not know how far the Holy Spirit and God had brought me with the profanity that once marked my life. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says, "Let me ask you only this. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And the answer to Paul's question is what? Yeah, hearing and faith. That's how we received the Spirit. That is how we receive the Spirit. Hearing and faith, right? Nothing else. None of us earned it, right? None of us deserved it. We receive the Spirit by hearing and faith, nothing else. So our experience of the Holy Spirit, which began with the Holy Spirit opening our minds, opening our hearts, opening up our very lives to the truth of the gospel, we simply trusted in everything that Jesus had done, and we didn't trust in ourselves. That is our first Holy Spirit experience. What Romans 10:17 says is true for us. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. That's how we are brought in. You're not brought in by praying 30 minutes a day or reading 3 chapters of Scripture a day. You're not brought in by having Christian parents or going to Sunday school or going to Sunday morning service or attending the walk, though all those things are healthy. None of those things brings us into the family of God. It is when we hear the Word of God, we hear the Word of God, we hear the gospel truth, and the Spirit gives us ears to hear it in such a way that we recognize it as being true. That's when we were brought in. The word about Christ. Faith comes from hearing the word about Christ. What is the word about Christ? We call that the gospel. All good news about Jesus Christ, what he's done for you that you can't do for yourself, that is the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the good news, the gospel, the word about Jesus Christ. As Pastor Tim Keller says, the gospel is not just the ABCs of the Christian life. The gospel is the A to Z of the Christian life. And so, loved ones, let me ask you, do you desire to elevate, to increase, to grow in your experience of the Holy Spirit? Is that your desire? To grow, to increase, to mature in, to elevate, to amplify in your life your personal experience with the Holy Spirit? And if your answer is yes, I have no better advice than this. I encourage you, I beg, to grow in your understanding of the Word of Christ. To grow in your understanding of the gospel good news about what Jesus Christ has done for you. Hear me. The more you grow in your knowledge of the gospel, the more intimate will be your relationship with the Holy Spirit. There is no other way to mature and to grow intimate in your relationship with the Holy Spirit than to give yourself to the word that he inspired. The more you grow in your knowledge of the gospel, the more intimate you grow with the Holy Spirit, because he is the one who inspired this, correct? The more you grow in your gospel understanding, the more you will hear the voice of the Spirit, and the more you will experience God's personal and relentless love for you, because that's what we find written in here over and over and over. God has loved you with an everlasting love. When you were far from him, God offered up his son out of love for you, that you would come into relationship with him, that you would know him, that you would be a part of his intimate, close family. This is where we hear the voice of God. This is where we experience the Holy Spirit, the truth that is in here. And the more intimately we are aware of this, the more we will hear his voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." The more we will hear him resisting the sinful nature within us, the more we will know that he cares for us and he is with us and that he loves us. Do you want to grow in your understanding? Are you desirous to increase your experience of the Holy Spirit? Open the Word of God and let it fill your heart and let it fill your mind. To do this, you have to read it slowly. You have to read it regularly. You can read it in large portions, you can read it in small portions. But to do this, you have to give yourself to read the words that the Holy Spirit speaks. Do you want to know without fail that the words you are hearing are God's words to you, inspired by the Holy Spirit? Do you want to know without any doubt that you're hearing the voice of God? I'll give you a 100% foolproof way to do this. Open the Word of God and read what is there. These are words that he inspired men of old, and he carried them along. Every word is faithful. Every word is true. Everything in here has been spoken by God to you. It is 100% infallible. And what it will do is it will corral your crazy thoughts about who God is and what he wants to do in your life. Be honest. Sometimes you have some crazy thoughts about who God is and what he wants to do in your life. And if we don't open the Word of God, our thoughts will run wild with us and it will drift us away from him. But rather, we have some thoughts, and sometimes those impressions are God-given impressions, but sometimes those impressions are the devil, or they are our own personal wishes, things that we wish he would say. And if we don't open the Word of God, our crazy thoughts that need to be corralled will never be corralled. The more you grow in your understanding, the more you will hear and experience God's personal and relentless love for you. And I think everyone in this room wants to experience that. We want to hear more clearly and more regularly and more faithfully and more firmly about God's personal and relentless love for us. Don't you? Do you want to hear that? How much God loves you? how fierce he is in approaching you with his love, how zealous he is to take everything that is destructive in your life away from you so that only what is for your benefit is remaining, right? Turn to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. I'm going to show you how this works. How our understanding of the gospel can enlighten us to how much God loves us and cares for us. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. You're all pretty familiar with the passage. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" So, if we will read this event through eyes of the gospel, I believe that we might just hear the Holy Spirit speaking a few wonderful things to our hearts. Personally, things that he would be unable to confirm to us outside of a clear understanding of the Word of God. So to set this up, I simply want you to notice in this passage that the falling of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus happened simultaneously with the Father's declaration of pleasure in his Son. I'll say that one more time, just to set this up. As the Holy Spirit fell upon Jesus, there was a simultaneous calling from the Father about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit said, the Father said this, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The falling of the Spirit and the speaking of the Father happened at the same moment. Now, in the gospel, as we come to understand what God has revealed to us about ourselves in relationship with him, we discover that that declaration of pleasure that God spoke over Jesus that day has now become ours. What the Father spoke over Jesus, "You are my beloved Son. I am well pleased with you." The Father speaks over us as well. "You are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter. I am well pleased with you." Isn't this a voice we want to hear from our Heavenly Father? "You are my beloved child. I am well pleased with you." And we would understand why he's pleased with Jesus, right? I mean, after all, Jesus is his Son. And well, you know, he is Jesus. But we are so intimately aware of who we are, and we know so many reasons why the Father wouldn't be pleased with us and why he wouldn't call us out as his son, as his daughter, as his child. But listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. "For our sake," for whose sake? "For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That's crazy, right, Tim? God looks upon you and says, "That dude is righteous." Not in that kind of, you know, goofy way, but pure. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27 says, "In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God. You are all children of God. In Christ Jesus, you are the children of God through faith. For as many of you who were baptized into Christ," which we're not talking about water baptism, when we are saved, the Holy Spirit, that's our first experience with the Holy Spirit. He baptizes us into the family of God. He baptizes us into the church. He baptizes us into Christ so that we are dripping, soaking wet with Jesus Christ's character and his nature. "For as many as you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So here it is. Since Jesus took our punishment, we now share his position of favor before his Father. Dressed in his righteousness alone, we are clothed with Christ. And so when the Father looks upon us, he sees us clothed in his Son, and what does he say of his Son? "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." It's the truth of Scripture. We've been united with Christ in his death, and we have been united with Christ in his victory and his resurrection. We are alive not just with him, we are alive in him. In him. You ever seen a little bitty kid wearing his father's shirt, his big husky father's shirt? We will never rise to meet, to step in the sandals, so to speak, of Jesus Christ. But how many kids put on the sandals or the shoes of their mothers, the shoes of their fathers? We are clothed by someone who is greater than we are. And who he is trumps who we are. If you put on a huge triple X sweatshirt and you are a 2-year-old toddler and you try to run, what you are clothed in is going to determine your gait, correct? You can't run freely on your own when you are clothed with something that is bigger than you. But when we are clothed by one who is larger than us, he moves us and he controls our gait. God looks upon him when he looks at us. And so, loved ones, this is not a made-up theology. This is not wishful thinking. This is the truth of the gospel. Because we have been united to Christ, and we are in Christ, and we have put on Christ, the Father looks upon you, Geneva, says, you are my beloved daughter, and with you I am well pleased. Even on your crankiest day, if you ever have those. Since Jesus took our punishment, we now share his position of favor before the Father. In Christ, the Father looks upon us and he declares his pleasure in us. He doesn't have to just tolerate us because he's God and he said he would. He takes pleasure in us. And he says, you are my child. And as we believe this, the Holy Spirit falls upon us. And here's what Romans says. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We really do belong. We really have been brought in. We really are adopted sons and daughters. We have been grafted in. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs. We're not going to find someday that God has died and there is the reading of the will and he has included everybody in except for you. Everybody receives the full benefit of sonship. Heirs with Christ. Heirs of God and fellow joint heirs with Christ. Because the Spirit of adoption. Because the Holy Spirit was active in our salvation. He has fallen upon us, and not only that, but he right now is empowering our heart's cry of Abba, Father. We not only call him Lord, but we call him Father. We don't only call him Master, we call him Daddy. Because the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, confirming these things as true in such a way that we speak them. We cry out, Abba, Father, in exactly the same way that Jesus Christ did in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. He said, Abba, Father. No encounter with the Holy Spirit is greater than this one. None. If he were to so bless you to be involved in the raising of somebody from the dead, that is a lesser miracle than able to call out, Abba, Father. It's beautiful. Do you remember when Moses asked God to show him his glory? Remember that story? It's found in Exodus chapter 33 and 34. Chapter 33 and verse 18, Moses said to God, please show me your glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you can't see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by you, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Chapter 34, verse 5. So the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him there. It's kind of awesome. The Lord descended and stood there with Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, "The Lord," hear this, "the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." So here's what's going on. God says, "Show me your glory." And God says, "I'll show as much of it as you can handle." And God passes in front of Moses. And there, this is what God does. He declares his name to Moses. "This is who I am." He describes his character to Moses. "This is what I am like." And then he proclaims his gracious acts of salvation. Pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones believed that this event describes how God's presence comes into our lives. So God's Spirit approaches us. And there he declares God's name to us. "This is who I am." Then he hides us in the cross. And he speaks of God's mercy. "This is what I am like." He makes God's holiness, God's justice, God's love, and God's glory come alive, alive in such a way that we recognize it as being true, and we long for it because it is desirous, and we call out for it. That's salvation. That's salvation. "This is my name. This is who I am. This is what I like. And I want you to know at the front end, I forgive." Puritan Thomas Goodwin compares Moses' experience to a father, hear this, to a father who is walking along a road with a young son when suddenly the father picks him up and spins him around, kisses him and says, "You know that I love you. I will never leave you. And I am so proud that you are my son." Goodwin then asks, "Was the boy any more the father's son in that moment than the moment before?" Legally, no. But in that moment, the son felt his sonship in a new way. And so it is with God's presence. The fullness of the Spirit makes us feel the love that is revealed in the gospel. The fullness of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit enables us to have ears to hear the Father say to us, "You are my child. You are my child, and I delight in you." I want you to hear this morning. If not all of us, certainly some of us were engaged in activities this past week that we think should cause God to despise us. "This is my name. This is what I'm like. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive." When the Holy Spirit empowers those truths, we cry out for forgiveness, don't we? We repent. Sometimes it is so strong and it's so powerful that we find ourselves on our knees because we are so weak-kneed we can't stand in the presence of such incredible, amazing grace. And at that moment, salvation goes from being a doctrine that we believe in to a loving embrace from our good Father. It's such a beautiful thought that I want to know when I am growing in the Holy Spirit. I want to know that I am growing in my experience with God the Holy Spirit. I want Him to be increasingly free to convey the fullness of His love and His grace and His mercy towards me so that when I blow it, I don't run away, but I run to Him. I want to know that there's going to be a reception there. Because what I know is I don't deserve one. And if I don't deserve one, and all I think is about my deserving and my efforts and my strength and my goodness, I am only ever going to run away from Him. So I need the Holy Spirit to speak to me. There is going to be a reception for you, and it is a fond one. It is a forgiving one. How do we know that we're growing in the Holy Spirit experience? Well, what do you think? Would you like a hint? The primary indicators of growth in the Holy Spirit, the primary indicators of experiencing the Holy Spirit can be found in the book of Galatians. How do you know you're growing in the Holy Spirit? Well, I'll give you another. They're called the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, are you kidding me? I want something else, something more exciting, right? Oh, how do I know I'm growing in the Holy Spirit? There is growing within me the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you might be tempted to think that that is boring. Let me tell you this much. Not for your neighbor. Not for your neighbor ever. Not for your husband. Ever. Not for your wife. Ever. Not for your parents. Ever. Not for your children. Ever. If you are growing in all of these fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you are the life of the party. If these are growing in you, you're the kind of person that everybody will want to be around. How do you know that you're growing in the Holy Spirit? How do you know that what you're experiencing is the Holy Spirit? So what's coming out of you? Apple trees, by nature, produce what? Yeah, I don't ask any trick questions. Orange trees, by nature, produce what? Holy Spirit people, Holy Spirit filled people, by nature, produce the fruits of the Spirit. And when you see an increase of love in your life, you go, oh, there he is. There he is. When you are working with somebody who up until tomorrow morning you can't stand to see, but you're driving in and God gives you an affection for them on your way, there the Holy Spirit is. You know you're experiencing the Holy Spirit. You know you're experiencing the Holy Spirit. When you are beside the bedside of a mother as she passes away, and there is joyful reading of Scripture and the joyful singing of songs, you know you're experiencing the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of joy. Ultimately, all of this is about relationship. It's all it is. The gospel, everything that's written in here, and everything that is written here, be clear, is about Jesus Christ. Remember, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus expounded the Old Testament scriptures, and he showed how they're all about him. Ultimately, all of this is about relationship. The gospel, ultimately, it's an invitation into relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. A relationship that begins by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He paid the full debt for your sins. Hallelujah. And he died. And he rose again. Hallelujah. So that if you repent, so that when you repent of your sins and you receive that finished work as your own, the Holy Spirit immediately makes you God's child. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right, he gave the power to be the children of God. Immediately. There's no, wait a second, you need to time out for about a couple weeks here. I'm going to see if you really mean this. You're immediately brought in. Immediately brought in. Immediately a daughter. Immediately a son. Immediately a child. And since this relationship begins by faith, it just makes sense that it continues by faith. And it just makes sense that it grows by faith. As we go deeper and deeper into the glorious truths of the gospel, and as we grow deeper in our awareness of the grace of God that has been shown to us in the gospel, and as we come to yearn to offer up our lives for the people who are around us, not just for our best friends, but for our worst enemies. In the same way that Jesus offered up his life for us, we will begin to experience the specific direction of the Holy Spirit for our lives. It's just how it works. It's just how it works. See, the gospel isn't a call to turn the other cheek. The gospel is the power that enables you to turn the other cheek. The gospel is not that you have to give your cloak when somebody asks you for your coat. The gospel is the power that enables you to give your cloak when somebody asks you for your coat. The gospel isn't that you have to go an extra mile or two or three down the road. The gospel is that you're given power to go an extra mile or two or three down the road. The gospel isn't a call to do this and to do that and then to do the other thing and then maybe God will be pleased with you. The gospel is God is pleased with you, and since you are a delighted in child, you are a different person than you once were. It is the Holy Spirit that comes and confirms these things in our hearts. How do we know we're experiencing the Word of God? God calls us to sacrifice ourselves for the benefit of somebody else. So in the same way that Jesus Christ, and not only do it with joy. We, loved ones, will never go past our need for the gospel. We'll just keep going deeper and deeper in. For the more alive our hearts are to the gospel, the more alive our hearts are to the gospel, the more in touch we will be in with the move of the Holy Spirit. The more alive our hearts are to gospel, the more in touch we will be with the direction of the Holy Spirit. Do you want the Holy Spirit to be leading you this afternoon and tomorrow morning and Thursday afternoon and next Saturday night? Tune yourself to the gospel. And the Holy Spirit will do what? He will bring to remembrance everything that Jesus said. And he will tell you what to say in a moment of crisis because it is already there in you. You're giving him food to work with. You're giving him life to tap. A.W. Tozer prayed this prayer. And would you close your eyes? And I encourage you that as I read this prayer, to make it your own. Oh God, I have tasted of your goodness. And it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully aware of my lack of desire. O triune God, I want to want you. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me your glory. Proclaim your name again to me. Reveal to me your character and your goodness so that I may know you indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me and say to my soul, rise up, loved one, my fair one, and come away. Then give me the grace to rise up and follow you from this dark lowland where I've been wandering far too long. Amen. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to each one of us right now. If you are calling to us to repent and you are revealing to us your holy nature, oh God, may we not ignore that call. May we repent right now. If we have been living in shame because of past deeds and the way we wish things had gone when we were younger, may we hear your Spirit say, you are my child, I have forgiven you, and I am well pleased with you. Father, if we make too much of ourselves in this world, would you forgive us of our pride. And would you humble us in such a way that you can lift us up and you can position us in places of influence and power as you desire, so that you would be glorified. And Lord, if we have been consumed by doubt and we have been consumed by fear because the life that is around us is just way too big for us to handle, may we hear you say, "Fear not, I am with you. You will not be undone. You will not be defeated. You have not been forsaken." Lord, help us to move forward in our Christian lives as those who are impacted, who are led by the Holy Spirit, who are continually having one experience with you after another, that is guarded by the gospel, both in content, but also in attitude. Lord, we want our attitudes to be directed by your Spirit, to be corralled, to be tamed, and to be loosed for your glory. Lord, loose us. Loose us in gospel freedom. Loose us in gospel truth. Loose us in the liberty for which you have called us to. May we walk in step with your Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And may our lives be marked by every fruit of your Spirit in ever-increasing portions. Loved ones, are you a candidate for experience of the Holy Spirit all this week that is guarded by and empowered by the gospel? Are you a candidate? Would you stand? And would you make that your prayer? Lord, here I am. Pour your Spirit out upon me. Pour your Spirit out upon me in such a way that I know I am experiencing you. Let everything that is true, may it find place to land and to grow and to deepen its roots into my heart and my mind and my spirit and my soul, Lord. And may everything that is false, may it be combated and thrown away by your Spirit, Lord. Would you empower us to walk in grace? Would you empower us to walk in mercy? And would you empower us to walk in your Spirit, Lord? Marked by a power that transforms the way we live our lives, that improves our gait. I don't walk as we once did. We walk as the sons and the daughters of the risen, victorious, and reigning Christ, who has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us so that we might live lives that are pleasing to Him. Well, do these things in us. Do them all in us. And would you do them now? We bless you, God. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Would you praise Him just for a moment? Well, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come into your house. We thank you for your word that tells us we're not who we once were. And we thank you for your Spirit that assures that we're not now who we will one day be. We thank you for your ongoing work. We thank you that what began by faith doesn't have to be stained by our own efforts or our own work, but is sustained by your Spirit as we continue to place ourselves in positions of trust and following you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have made it so easy, even though our flesh rebels against it. We are likely to lean on our own understanding, but Lord, cure us of that, heal us of that, deliver us of our self-confidence, so that in everything, Lord, you would be glorified, Christ would be exalted, and God would have his name proclaimed throughout this land, throughout this world. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in the name of the good Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, receive all glory and all honor and all power because they are yours, Lord. May every purpose you have, every provision made by the Son, be applied to our lives by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let me encourage you to love one another. If you are in need of prayer, find someone to pray with you, and that would include me. In about 45 minutes, we're going to have some brothers and sister churches come and join us for some hot dogs and some whatever else comes. And then we have a brother from Nigeria going to come, and he's going to be singing this afternoon at 2. Love you, and God bless.